who knows that a lot of times that we get things that we don't even pray for. I am going to cry today, and I don't care if you don't like it. I've been struggling with this message for my whole life. Literally my whole life. And I know there's a lot of people in here who are going to get something out of this, and it's why it's taken me so long to try to get this out of me. Because this sermon that I'm about to give you saves my life every day. I got a few confirmations this last couple days that I knew that God was wanting to get this out, and Jeremy had announcements today, and I honestly just gave him like one word. I just said, hey, I'm going to be speaking on joy. I'm the only guy that can speak on joy and cry the whole time I'm speaking on joy. But I gave Jeremy the, and he about stole my whole sermon, but I'm going to expound on what he said. And Pastor Connie, she had, her word was straight in line with the direction I'm going, so I'm excited about that. I was cutting hair yesterday because this isn't my full-time job. I have like six of them. But I was cutting hair yesterday, and I ran into a guy that I might see. He drives up from Cape Girardeau, and I probably see him like maybe once every 3 months, 6 months, because it's a long drive to get a haircut. I don't even know him that well. I know he's a Christian man. And I know he listens. And he heard that I was speaking today. And so, just as confirmation for me, and I want to share that sometimes I never prayed for confirmation to even give this sermon. But your heart is always that you want. God knows your heart, whether you speak it through prayer or not. He created you, so he knows your ever inner thought. So it doesn't matter if you're like, you know what, I'm not praying about this. He just wants the relationship of the prayer. He already knows where your heart's at, so that doesn't matter. So I hadn't prayed for this, and then he sent me this. He said, and hey, online, because he's watching online this morning, his kid's sick. He said, for sure, I'm looking forward to catching your message in the morning. And then he sent me a scripture. And I'm just going to pray this over myself before I speak. Moses said, the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow to speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. So I'm going to lean in on that verse today. Because I know people have said, hey, you do a good job up there, and I really like listening to you, and that's all great and well, and I really hate being up here. But I know this is where I'm supposed to be, so this is where I will be. So I'm going to talk about something today. I'm going to talk about joy. And I started working on this. I don't even know how long I've been mulling over this as far as getting this together. But who knows that, well, a lot of us think we know what joy is, but there's a huge difference between joy and happiness. A huge difference between joy and happiness. And I'm going to go through some of that today, and I'm going to help us maybe get a better visual picture of what joy really is and how we can keep ourselves, for lack of a better term, keep our focus on where it needs to be to keep that joy. I was thinking back to a time when, oh, it's not been that long ago, but I always think to myself, what happened? I see kids acting like clowns, and you'll see kids run through a building and they'll just making random noises, and you think to yourself, man, if I was to do that, people would think I was nuts. They haven't lost their joy yet. And they haven't lost their focus because they haven't been distracted. I always thought, how can I get back? How am I so unhappy now? And how is that young kid who knows nothing so happy? I was driving in the car. Oh, this has happened a million times, but I'll just tell one of the stories. And I'm driving, and everybody who's had kids in the car and had another adult in the front seat with them trying to have a conversation is virtually impossible. And I think numerous times I'm just like you, if you haven't noticed. I don't dress like a pastor. I just dress like me. And I am just me. So I'll just tell stories like I'm me, because they're just like you, and if nobody wants to admit it, it's baloney. We're driving in the car, and me and Jen are trying to talk, and Drew's in the back making random noises. Yes, 13-year-olds, they're hitting puberty and think that they're adults, still make random noises in the back seat. So he's back there making random noises. Aubrey's yelling, shut up. I can't hear my wife speak, and I can't talk across to her, and I'm sure that how many times have I said, I'm going to reach back and punch both of you in the head? See, I'm just like you are, because I know you've all done it too. You've all put your hand up and said, I'll pull this car over on both of you. Or slammed your brakes on and make them brake check the front seats, and nobody's ever done that either. But what happens is you are driving and you are in your life. You are being distracted. So all that background noise, you've got yourself focused on so many things that you forget sometimes that the blessings that are back there making those stupid random noises, they're not doing it. They're not doing it to lose your joy. They're doing it because they're just that age. We have to realize that until we can figure out where to keep our focus, those random noises in your life are going to keep taking your joy away. And I'm going to show you in here where, no matter what happens, you should never lose your joy. As long as you can figure out where to focus, you will not lose your joy. So, what is controlling your joy? I'm going to read James 1. If you guys want to grab your Bibles, grab your phone, grab your whatever. I actually have this fancy new notebook that I don't have to have a paper anymore because we're going green. Just like they tell you that they're billing you online, and you no longer have, because we're going green to save the world, and they send you an envelope with 600 pages in it that shows you what your bill was about. Same thing. So go to James 1, 2 through 4. I'm going to read this, and people are going to want to throw their Bibles and be like, baloney, I'm not taking this. I don't like this scripture. Well, tough. It's in the Bible, so I'm reading it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Then you're automatically like, I don't receive that at all. I don't want any trials of any kinds. Well, guess what? You live in a cursed world and you're going to get them all. It says, verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He is saying there, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because when you face trials and your mind is wrecked out, if you know where to turn, it only builds more relationship. So look at this scripture and think to yourself, what's God talking about here? Consider it pure joy. He's not sadistic. He doesn't want to put bad things on you. He's talking about, consider it an honor that you're dealing with what you're dealing, because you have to deal with that. If you can find your focus in his joy, you only will grow closer to him. Then those things that have affected you or will be affecting you in the future will only cause you to show more of his glory, and you will bless more people through what you're going through. It's good to see you, Jackie. There's a guy in the Bible, you can flip there, the book of Job. If anybody knows the story of the book of Job, I'm not going to read it. It's a long book. I'm going to read a couple sections of it so you get a gist of what Job is all about. Because some people are like, hey man, I ran out of milk this morning. It's a terrible day. I'm not discounting the importance of milk, because to some that might be the end of the world in their morning. Mine it was not, but some it may be. But there's a guy in the Bible, and he's back in the Old Testament. His name is Job. I'm going to give you a brief description of Job. There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters and celebrate with them. So, as Matt Snyder would say, this guy, Job, he was lit. He was having parties at his house all the time. It said that he was, in the eyes of God, a perfect man. Well, this is the Old Testament, and there's a meeting in the heavenlies, if you read on down, and it says that Satan actually said, hey, I bet Job, if tested, won't love you anymore, and he will find no joy in you anymore if you let me test him. God, being so confident in his servant Job, he said, you know what, I will let you test Job, but you can't kill him, and he will still serve me. Satan said, bet. So, I said bet. It's not in the scripture, but that's what he says if you read the scripture. So it says, verse 13, if anybody wants to follow along, because I'm going to read kind of quick. It says, one day, so when you think that there was no milk, this is Job's life, just you can keep it in perspective. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with his news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabins raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Okay, this just happened. Job's sitting in his big plush house, hanging out. Guy runs in and gives him that news. He's still sitting in the same house, because it says, next verse, while he was still speaking, so this guy's not even done talking yet, and another messenger runs up and says, I have news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all your shepherds, and I am the only one who escaped. So now you have Job standing in his house, right? And he's the richest man. He has all this favor with God. His life has been nothing but smooth butter the whole time. So these two things have happened immediately. These two messengers are standing in his house. Verse 18. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. This is even better. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 20. Job stood up, tore his robe in grief, and he shaved his head and fell to the ground to what?
Worship.
To worship. Not all of us, because some of us haven't been through what others have been through, but sometimes once you get forced all the way to the ground and you're like, man, it's over. I have nothing left. I have nothing left to give. I don't want to give nothing. I'm mad. Why would my God take all my kids? Why would my God take my job? Why would my God take my relationship? Why would my God take my money? Why would my God? Your God did none of the above. But once you're in that place, you have to find joy that's there. Jump over to Habakkuk. Well, don't jump over, because it would take some of you guys 15 minutes to find it. Hold on a minute. Unless you're fast with your Bible, which some of you are way faster than me. I actually just typed it out so I wouldn't have to. It says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will what? What does the end of that say? Is anybody there? This says, I will be joyful in God my Savior. Joy is something that is not discovered. It is developed. So joy is not a career move. It's not your next relationship. It's not how much money you're about to get. Those things are fleeting joy. And some people even will say, well, I'm gonna find all my joy in my spouse. Good luck. It will never happen. Your spouse, your friend, your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa were never meant to be your joy. They were meant to be your temporal joy that God placed in your life as a blessing. And until you make him the focus of your joy, there's a verse on that. He will give you the blessings and that. And those are there. And you do get joy in those things that surround your periphery, but only when your focus is right there on God. Because if your focus is not there, right there, the one next to you, because many people in here have had spouses that have passed away, and or mothers who have passed away, or just family members that they love that passed away, and they thought to themselves, now what? Because I put all my joy in that. And now my joy is gone. Your true joy was never in that. You see it with professional athletes a lot. They will put all of their focus in conquering the one thing that they are driven that brings them joy. There was an Olympic swimmer from Australia. It was a female. And when she was 10 years old, she decided that she was going to go to the Olympics. Her mother and father, I don't know if maybe they were living through her or what, but when she was 10 years old, every day her dad would get up at 4 a.m. and drop her off at the swimming pool at 5. She would swim from 5 to 7, get done swimming, go to school, get off school at 3, do her lessons till 4, swim from 4 to 7. That went on 6 days a week from the time she was 10 until she was 18 years old. Once she graduated and went to college, she swam even more at the college level, and then so much so that she did make the Australian Olympic team. Having done all of that, her joy was in that, and because I've read the whole backstory on this young gal. She went to the Olympics. They won some medals. They did their thing. She come down with a sickness that took away her ability to process oxygen at a higher level. She could no longer swim again. What do you think happened? She fell into full-on depression because that which she had invested her joy in doesn't last. You have to find the place where your joy is in him and let the rest of it just be peripheral blessings. So we have to find our focus. Hebrews 12:2. If anybody wants to jump there, we'll jump over there. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The next verse, the next sentence is what I want to key in on. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Yes. Then it goes on, it says, scorning his shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I'm going to read it one more time, and I want you to think this through as I read it, because there's a ton right here in this first two sentences. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He knew the pain was coming. The pain from the nails was the same as the pain if they would drive them through your hands. He was human just like you were. But what did he know was on the other side of that pain? He knew, and he endured that pain of that cross because he knew what was coming. He had his focus on his Father. And he said, God, if I have to do this, because you know the whole story. He sat in the garden and cried so hard that he sweated blood. He knew the pain was coming. And there's a lot of times in our life that if you could just grasp the fact that the joy that is set before you, you can endure the cross. That pain that's in your life, there's joy. There's the scripture, there's joy in the morning. There's joy in the morning, and there's always joy in the morning. It says, God did not find joy in the event. He found joy in the guaranteed outcome. You can find joy in the guaranteed outcome because this all also hinges on that you're saved. If you're not saved, what I'm telling you makes no sense whatsoever. Because God has placed himself and all that you need inside of you. So if you don't realize that you have that to turn to all the time, you need to find somebody after service and be like, hey, I'm not really for sure what you're talking about, but I need that inside me so I know where to turn. We lose our focus nowadays because of all the distractions around us. Who can say amen to that? This thing right here, these things, I wish they would all just explode and blow up and burn. This can be a lifesaver because Jen knows that, she knows me well enough to know that I often just, music fills me. I use it to realign my focus all the time. And I use my phone for that. Other than that, this phone distracts me most of my life and goes off 24/7 and I like to throw it in the river. We have to learn to prioritize what takes our focus away. There's a little, iPhone's got that fancy thing that says, I don't know if anybody sees this, screen time. Once a week it tells you how many hours you've been looking at your phone. And I oftentimes want to vomit when it tells me how many hours I've been looking at my phone. Because I look at this phone sometimes way more than I look at this right here. So we also forget, and I'm going to read this because I typed it out because I just like how it reads. It's not about possession. It's about position. Are you present in this moment and are you focused on the one that fills that moment? What I mean by that is we lose our joy because this thing here and social media, and we find ourselves always doing this. Man, they look so happy. Man, they're going to the Caribbean. Look at their family. They, guess what? It's all fake news. I promise. You're seeing the 5 minutes of the joy that they've had for that whole day, and half the time they were fighting before they took that picture. And the smiles and the pictures aren't even real. So you'll never find your focus if you're looking to look to the left and right. And some people, you've met these people. I've been guilty of being these people. Every time you meet them, they tell a story about 27 years ago. And you're like, what? That dude always tells stories about whenever he was in high school or when he was in college. You know why? Because he lost his joy. Way back there somewhere, the only time he ever felt that fullness was when he had joy as a kid. So he has to live there to keep himself from being too hard on himself. You can't live back there and do anything in this moment. God blesses you in the moment. If you're to be a blessing to everyone else, you have to be in the moment. It's just like whenever we're out with our kids and you see people doing it all the time, and me and Jen are terrible about not taking any pictures of our kids and whatnot, but you'll see people that are out and about and they have their camera out. They're so busy trying to capture the moment that they're missing the entire moment. So we're like, I'm going to hurry up and get this picture because I'm going to send this out because I'm going to get 27 likes and 15 shares and 87 people are going to comment and I'm going to get Instagram famous. And you're missing the whole moment. The whole moment that God has put there to fill your joy, to be that peripheral blessing, you're missing because you're too busy losing your focus. In that same mindset, we have some people like, hey, I'm 57 years old. I'm not worried about anybody on my right or left. I'm 65. I've been through life. I'm not worried about their, that, and I'm not worried about the past, and I'm retired, and after I save up money in 10 years, I'm moving to Florida, and they're looking so far out ahead that they miss the moment. And we're all guilty of it too. I mean, some of us that have jobs with retirement, I don't, so I'm just, it's not that I don't want to look forward to retirement, I just don't have it. So I have to stay in that moment for sure. But we're so busy plotting out what we think that we are going to do to fulfill our own joy. Did you hear what I said right there? We're so busy plotting out what I feel I'm going to plot out my own joy, my own schedule of what I'm going to do, that we miss out in the moment of the joy that God has given you right there. And that is the moment of joy. And when you can stay in that moment, he can fill you through him instead of the joy that you're making. Joy John 15:11. If you jump over there real quick. It says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. All the joy that you'll ever need is living right inside you. He's given you everything you need. We sing that song about that, about the power that is inside of you. When you said, hey, Jesus, I want you in my heart, he dumps literally all the joy, all the faith, all the everything that you need, he dumps directly into you. We just have to learn and be confident in the faith that we have that it's all there. That is something that I believe in. The faith walk is not an easy walk, because the first word there, faith, that's the hardest part of the entire thing. You have to have faith to walk the walk. So I'm gonna do something real quick. If you guys just want to stand by the back, I got a couple things I want to go over. I need somebody up here. Let me steal somebody young. Come here. He didn't even volunteer. He was just staring at me, so he got it. Come up here. So see this right here? I don't know if you can see that on camera. That's a Mentos. All right? This is a direct view of, I'm about to say, Lord, I need all of you in me. I want you in my life. What's in here? I mean, I know this is just a Mentos, but I'm saying, hypothetically, everything you will ever need is right here. Yep. Your joy included, right? So I take this. Hold on, I got to chew it up. I swallow it. And then now all of that Mentos is in me, correct? Right. Spicy. All of what you need from God is also inside of you. So I need you, Justin, to take my joy. Well, this is real. For real. All that you have and ever needed and the joy that you ever needed was placed in you when you said, God, I can't do this no more. I'm going to smack myself in the face. I'm going to smack everybody in the face. And the moment you said that, all the joy you ever needed was dumped into you. So we so often let people around us take our joy. So I took this Mentos. I want you to get this Mentos back. Can you? You cannot. He is not allowed to take my joy. Or, which you wouldn't. I'm not saying that you would. But he can't take my Mentos back. It's inside of me. The joy that was dumped into you when you said, Lord, help me, I can't do this. It's all right here. We just have to learn to turn that focus back on God and be like, God, I'm so sorry that I've aligned my priorities and my focus with all of this. Yeah. And it's not that he doesn't want to bless you. Thank you, Justin. It's not that he doesn't want to bless you. He so wants to bless you. But when you're blessing yourself with the things that you think are supposed to be your blessings, he's not going to be able to bless those. They're not the ones he was supposed to give you. Focus on what he gave you. God, I know that you're my joy. I know, and I don't know if the rest of you, I knew this sermon was coming. I have had literally probably the worst week I've had in years. I have honestly wanted to throat punch numerous people all week. I'm just being real. It's been a rough week. My mind has been everywhere. My distractions have been everywhere. But all it did was reconfirm to me that I have to refocus my focus on the only one who can fix the stuff that I lose my focus on. We're going to sing here in a minute, obviously, because I have all these weirdos hovering behind me. They're friends of mine, so I can call them weirdos. You can call your friends names, just in case you didn't know. Jump to Isaiah 61:3. Trini, throw me my jacket back there. Jump to Isaiah 61:3. Thank you. So, some of you say, You know what? I'm not a very happy person, ever. Guess what? I used to not be either. I can tell you a story. Back in high school, I used to play football. I played football for one reason. Pastor can admit to this because I'm going to tell a story about him here. I played football for one reason. I was fast and I could hit hard. Those two things I put together to hurt as many people as I possibly could. Am I saying that proudly? No. I say that sadly. I grew up in church. I had lost my joy. I was mad all the time. Pastor used to ask me, hey, after the games, what are you so mad about? Why are you so mad? I had no idea. Then I walked from that into a job where mad is the main theme of the job the entire time you work there. Steve can say amen to that. To a place where if somebody wronged you, you just punch them in the face. That temporary release of no joy, the instant that happened, or I lowered my head and smashed somebody in football, it felt good for about that long. And then it fleeted and it was gone. And then you chase that joy one more time and that win one more time. I got to find that again. This is the same thing that happens with alcohol, drugs, everything else. You find that temporary joy, you're like, oh man, that's really good right now. And then it fleets in 2 minutes, 5 hours, and then here you are again sitting by yourself again. Sometimes just you, running back to God will always be enough, but sometimes just sitting there, as hard as you try to focus on reading the Bible, praying, you still lose track of your focus. So Isaiah 61:3 says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. And what is that last right there? And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. What do you have to do with a garment? If this is my spirit of praise, right, that is going to take away my feeling of despair, is it doing anything right now? I'm standing right here. What's it saying there? It says to do what? Put on. So I have all of God in me, right? And all of my joy is in here. None of you can ever take it away. We've established that. So I do this. That took what? What did I have to do? I had to do an action. A lot of times in the scripture, if you'll go through, God doesn't tell us what we have to do because he's not that kind of a God. He loves us, but he will give you an action. Something that you can do as a peripheral blessing to help you get that joy that you're looking for. Paul and Silas, I'm just going to read through this real quick because this is the epitome of what I just showed you. I don't even have the scripture down. I just have the narrative down, so I'm just going to read it. It says, once we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money from her owners for fortune telling. It goes on down to say, she's following them around for many days, and they cast that spirit out. She went back to her owner because she was a slave, and she couldn't do her fortune telling anymore. So she was of no value whatsoever. Paul and Silas were arrested, taken to prison. Now, back in these days, it wasn't the county jail and it wasn't the state penitentiary. It would be like this place right here, and we would dig a basement, and then we would dig a basement under that basement, and then we would run all the sewer through that basement, and then we would take you downstairs and we would cuff you to the floor. You wouldn't be in a cell. You would be cuffed to another person. So it goes on, and it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What do? Listen, people, they're sitting in a basement full of crap. Do you think that they've lost their joy? It's done been gone. But they knew one thing. They knew that they could take their superficial joy away, but all of what they had was still inside of them. And they said, you know what? We're down in here. It probably stunk terribly. Who knows? I'm sure it was unbelievable. They had been beaten too. If I would go back up, they had been beaten before they were ever put down there. So they did what? They took that action and they put on that garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. We must learn to realign our focus. When you feel that anger coming on, for lack of a better term, because we all have felt it, when you feel that, it doesn't matter what people do, they rub you the wrong way. Somebody could walk by and be like, "Man, I hate purple shirts. Why is that guy wearing those kind of shoes? I hate those shoes." All because you've let, not, you haven't lost your joy. It never went anywhere. It's still right where it was. You've only lost your focus. Realign your focus, readjust your priorities, and let God give you the peripheral blessings that He has in line for you, and let Him put them all around you. If you bow your heads, Lord, we thank You that today, as You always do, Lord, You always show up, not for me, because You love us so much that You want us all to be better. And we just thank You, Lord, that we're going to go through, and this sermon was for me probably more than it was for anybody in here, Lord. And we're just going to go through and we're going to reprioritize those things that are taking our focus off of the thing that our joy comes from. Lord, thank You that we can align with the source of our joy to keep our joy full. And we just thank You for that. In Jesus' name.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. This is how I fight my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded. like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's all go out and enjoy our day. We can all have joy tonight because you guys all know that the New England Patriots are going to win another Super Bowl tonight. Lord, we thank you for today, and we just thank you that you alone and you alone are the source of all of our joy. And in knowing that, you give us the peripheral blessings that come from making you the focal point of all the things that we do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful day.